Well, we can't have Stephen Quayle on and not talk with him about end times prophecy. So we'll get into some of that as well when we talk about his work, Xenogenesis, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Stephen Quayle, with us. So many things to talk with you about tonight, Stephen. Of course, we'd always be remiss if we didn't get your thoughts on where we are with end times and end times prophecy. That clock continues to tick, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, you can get people to argue over the Gog-Magog battle coming up, Ezekiel 36, 37, and 38. And it appears that based on the prophecies, even contemporary prophecies, that this whole situation, the Crimea, is going to lead to World War III. Now, here's what most people don't understand. Prophetically, there is World War III that must take place in order to satisfy the requirements of the Illuminati to bring about the death of the old civilization, out with the old, in with the new. And in the new one is this panacea of promises that all of the old ways will be forgotten, will be a technologically superior people on Earth, those who remain. And obviously, they're doing their best to make sure their bunkers are fully stocked. And it's an old lie. It's in 1984, revisited 1958. Huxley, Aldous Huxley wrote this. How is this for a prophecy in 31 being fulfilled in our time? The prophecies made in 1931 are coming true much sooner than I thought they would. Thanks to compulsory education, the Rotary Press, the propaganda has been able for many years past to convey his message virtually to every adult in every civilized country. He goes on to say that radio and television, where that the propagandists who want the one world order, the new world order, which Ayn Rand wrote about in Atlas Shrugged, they had it at their fingertips. It didn't matter if a person was educated or not. What was interesting, they said this, both parties, we were told in 1956 by the editor of a leading business journal, will merchandise their candidates and issues by the same methods that business has developed to sell goods. These include scientific selection of appeals and planned repetition. You and I watch that, George, every day. It doesn't matter if you go to MSNBC, ABC, the different networks. I don't watch them, so it's hard for me to recall them, or even Fox. And sometimes the story is so open propaganda, it's the same headline, the same it's a mantra almost. And all the stuff that you and I talk about, or you talk about on the various guests, and obviously that we talk about when we're together or when you have Alex on, we're talking about stuff that the majority of Americans will not be allowed to hear because they're too tied into the Borg. And in Xenogenesis, that's the point that I make. When I said there's nothing more I can say, the prophecies are being fulfilled as even the technology expresses itself to draw all humanity into a hive. And for the record, according to a special ops general, he said the gathering of the giants that are held in suspended animation, this is a religious statement, this is an absolute historic statement, whether it's Dr. Moldeshuff in the mountains of the Himalayas, which, by the way, means the mountains of the gods, or Bhutan, which means the garden of the gods, and all of these people all over who are even secular archaeologists, scientists, and physicians, the thing that's fascinating, that word hive, H-I-V-E. Now, when you think of a hive, you think of, obviously, a colony of bees. But what's fascinating is that the New World Order must have a Third World War to bring about their man of peace. And obviously, the Bible prophetically states that he will exalt himself above all that is called God. So whether people want to take the atheist route or call it religious crap, whatever they call it, the point is that they can't deal with it. When you had Tom Horn and Chris Putnam on, okay, you remember the, if you will, the global reaction to the Pope retiring, and obviously Tom and Chris nailed that. But what was more astounding to me, if you ask me what's the most astounding thing in the last year, it's the fact that, look, when you get some of the brightest men in the world, and they're astronomers, and they're looking for alien life forms, and now the Vatican is holding, and this isn't an anti-Catholic statement, this is fact, this is truth, then they're holding meetings to how to announce to the people of Earth, Cosmologno and others, are saying, what happens if the savior of the universe is an alien? Well, the book of Daniel already talked about that, that there'd be a presentation of an alien God. And see, this is what people don't understand. There is a time lock on Scripture. And it's fascinating to me, just like when you and I detail 10 years ago, just in casual talk or casual investigation or written talk or, you know, a written book or whatever, when these things start to come to pass, then you have to almost go, wow, this is unfolding right before our very eyes. So it will come as a great shock to the Catholic Church when the transition is made to not God created us as in the book of Genesis, but we were created by aliens. Well, my question to those guys, and I do argue with these people on their level, is then who created them? And why is it that the mythology still goes back to the judgment and the flood? By the way, I want to address the rainbow. The rainbow is an interesting thing. According to the CIA gentleman, and this is only in my book, and it's only because somebody felt they had to get this information out because this was a dying man's last wishes, and if he would have got it out while he was alive, he would have been murdered. But the rainbow, if you look at the colors of the spectrum, those are frequencies of light, and those frequencies of light act as a barrier, if you will, to evil and malevolent spirits. By the way, it's not a religious statement. People all over the world since the beginning of time have understood real basic, good spirit, evil spirit. That's why people with no, quote, exposure to Western theology, Christianity, or civilization, like the tribe just found in the Amazon, they know the difference. Well, the rainbow, as it's basically detailed in the chapter of my book, again, it blows my mind at just how the chemtrails, now here's where it's important, the chemtrails and all of the electromagnetic and the other forms of scalar energy that are transforming our weather into and I believe in global warming, I just don't believe mankind is the cause of it outside of fallen technology. But what's interesting, George, is that rainbow that was a promise, again, in the Bible, of God's covenant with mankind is being destroyed. That's why people send me photographs. I'm sure they send Coast photographs all the time of rainbows that have different colors. And those all have frequencies. All matter is energy vibrating at a specific frequency under gravity, and gravity is pressure. It's not a wave. I know that people argue with that. But the point being, this is one of the most mind-blowing things, and this is why the chemtrails. And somebody said, you know, isn't it just like they want to bring about a primordial atmosphere on the Earth? And somebody said, well, what does that mean? I said, what it means is we're in for a very difficult time, because the Bible talks about, literally, how about this? This is an amazing scripture in light of what's happening off the coast of Peru and Chile. It's Isaiah 26:19, and the earth shall cast out the dead. That word dead doesn't mean dead people. It means Rephaim, the Rephaim who are the, that's the Hebrew word for the giants. And there are people who would disagree with me on the difference between the word Nephilim, Rephaim, and demons. A demon is a disembodied spirit. And by the way, George, free on my website, Genesis6Giants.com, is the Book of Enoch, which is only, you know, partial fragments translated, and the Book of Giants. And the Book of Giants and the Book of Enoch address the end times and the release of these things that have been bound by the love of God for his creation coming back on the earth. So when I said Xenogenesis is the culmination of all the earthly research, what more can I say? There's nothing more I can say in that realm. And I deal with this. If it's taken 20 years for people, like you said, to get it, how bad it truly is getting, and as long as someone's got a job and their mortgage is paid and their stomach's not growling, everything's happy. Okay.
Yeah.
But the day comes when it affects them too.
Did you see where they just found some more Dead Sea Scrolls?
Yes.
I mean, who knows if they can ever decipher them? They look like they're pretty battered, but
right. Well, I want to address the Dead Sea Scrolls. One of the interesting things that most people don't understand is two foundations, and you'll get this immediately. You know who controls a lot of the scrolls that haven't been released to the public?
Who?
The Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. Now,
oh, really?
Yeah. Now, this whole thing with Flight 370, you know, and the Malaysian airliner's disappearance and all that stuff, and all the voluminous stories, counter stories, claims, counterclaims.
It keeps changing. It's
changing.
Bizarre.
But one of the things I'll give people a great example of, and I didn't know this until an aeronautical engineer drew my attention to it. I just didn't know it. Obviously, the airplanes have transponders or transmitters. The point being, I didn't know that engines, and Rolls-Royce builds the engines that are on that Boeing aircraft, they also have transponders. So do you remember a little quick glimpse where the Boeing said they have an idea where the plane was at, and that's all they said?
Yeah.
They said that not one of the mainstream press mouthpieces or what I call vomitory channels would even broach that subject. Now, somebody probably sat on Boeing saying, if you want that next defense contract, keep your mouth shut. I don't know the reason, but I know this. We've seen too many crashes in the debris when an airplane really crashes in the ocean or on land, and the fact that the transponder in the engines and whether the IBM engineer's phone was able to give a location, the GPS, whether it was Diego Garcia or whatever. The point is that from the beginning, General McInerney, I guess is his name, said it was in Pakistan. I got calls from Special Forces guys and others who said, it's in Pakistan. I said, okay, how do you know that? And it all went back. So they were watching it in real time. See, this is the disconnect. The people are being told a lie, or they're being, I would say, treated to the theater of the absurd, when a basic fact is those engines have transponders. The transponders on the engines, they know exactly where the plane landed or where it would have been moved to. And the point being is not one mainstream news source even would dare touch that. So to quote Huxley in 1958, everything's managed for the purpose of controlling the people's knowledge because they want everyone dumbed down unto death. And that's why I came up with the acronym DUD, dumb unto death.
I wonder what they're going to do with this plane, assuming it's on land somewhere.
Well, I don't know what they're going to do, but they had a reason, you know. They had a reason to take it, whether it was the engineers on board or whatever. Whether it was the patent holders, whether it was somebody who was trying to get technology out, whatever the reason, whether the plane would be used at a later date, repainted, the transponder spoofed, meaning, you know, you repaint the plane, you put the same transponder code that's in the air, another airplane, and fly it into a building or something. I'm not saying that's going to be done, but that's one of the proposals or one of the conjectures. So the point is, though, and you and I talking about it tonight, just that simple issue of engines having transponders, that when I heard that, I could say, of course. I mean, it dawns on you when they say that. And so that then put into, I would say, a correct a thought pattern of why Boeing would say that statement and then say nothing else, and why General McInerney would basically say that it's in Pakistan, and why I get the phone calls from two separate people saying, hey, it's in Pakistan.
What does Hagman think about that plane?
Well, he thinks, and I'd let Doug speak for himself, but he thinks it was hijacked and it was remotely controlled hijacked, okay? For a long time, Boeing has put a system into its newer aircraft that, you know, somebody can basically try and hijack and hold the pilot at gunpoint, but the pilot's controls can be overridden. And it's real simple. You see all these guys out flying their RC helicopters.
Yeah. They're all radio controlled. They're like
all radio controlled. So just imagine a satellite knowing exactly. And, you know, I've seen satellite imagery that's not top secret. And you can see the registration tag on a license plate. You mean to tell me they can't find a debris field? I doubt it. And by the way, I'm pretty up just because I sell this stuff and have for years, thermal imaging, night vision. And Audi puts better Audi and probably Mercedes too puts better thermal imagers or night vision actually in their camera in their cars. Cadillac
That's
did
right.
too. Than those images you're seeing. That is like first generation garbage. The ability of high technology remote sensing is beyond a shadow of a doubt. I mean, they can spot a postage stamp. So it's all the theater of the absurd. Everything on mainstream news is a lie, in my
Stephen.
Opinion.
What do you think of this outbreak of Ebola?
Well, it's fascinating because when you and I talked about that, when we were talking about Breathe No Evil, I believe it is a secondary, intentional, genetically altered strain. Now, why I will say that, okay? Since 1976, there have been 28 outbreaks in that same area of Africa. 28. And then obviously there's been the Marburg, and there's basically three different primary viruses in the filovirus category. But when I started to see the reports coming in, the point is, George, I said immediately, and I'm on record as saying this, somebody's testing a new bioweapon. The very fact that human beings are being exposed to that makes me livid. And again, to my critics and to those out there, you explain it because there is no logic. You can trace back almost every outbreak, whether it's in Marburg, Germany, whether it's in Reston, Virginia. I think you've had over the years, haven't you had Preston and Lori Garrett on your show?
I think we have. Long
yeah,
time
yeah.
Ago.
Lori Garrett, The Coming Plague, Robert Preston, The Hot Zone. So the point is that they detailed the outbreaks marvelously. The idea is that when you get convergent or diverging data in comparing it to the previous outbreaks, and by the way, the Ebola was simian, I think it's simian monkey virus, okay, that when it first broke out in the early 60s.
So which is what they put in the polio vaccine, I believe, back in the 50s.
Absolutely. And so, you know, we're not crazy, and this has nothing to do with conspiracy. Isn't it amazing now when all the, quote, conspiracy theories, as Jesse Ventura has proven, they're not theories, they're fact. And if you don't believe they're fact, then ask yourself this. Why is there so much stonewalling, lies, and absolute blockages of what's really happening? Because, again, a dumbed-down people are a controlled people. A wise people cannot be controlled. So that's why total control of the media, and the Illuminati owns all the networks. They own them all.
The push for this one world government, does it seem to you that it's clicking along at a rapid pace now?
I think they've accelerated. I think they're ready to integrate it as quickly as it can. I think it's doing it. Look, you know, it's amazing. It's happening before our very eyes. Let's take the economic situation. What do people believe is the primary motivation for Russia and China and the other nations of the world saying we don't want to take the dollar anymore? The BRIC nations, again, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa are livid that they've been sold a bill of goods, because as most people know, up until a certain point, up until Saddam Hussein, before he got whacked, assassinated, you know, they wanted to break away from the U.S. dollar, pricing their oil. The U.S. was a petrodollar. All oil traded worldwide based on the U.S. dollar. Who's the next guy to come along and want to break away? Gaddafi. What happens to him? Same fate, you know? Basically out. And what's happening now is the Russians know perfectly well, and anybody who's studied history, you can't move into Russia's sphere of influence with NATO, with missiles, anti-ballistic missile shields, and not have an issue. So what does Putin do? He basically I don't play chess, but he puts us in a checkmate position. He moves into Cuba again. He moves into Latin America. Obviously, his bombers are airborne. His subs are off the coast. And what's amazing to me is to hear the President of the United States calling Russia a regional power. One word throws that out the window. Russia is a global power. Intercontinental ballistic missiles.
Nukes.
Right. And can I say something? Nukes are the great equalizer. And unfortunately, may I just address Fukushima?
Hold on for one second. We'll get right into it, Stephen, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to take your phone calls next hour with Stephen Quayle as we talk about his new work, Xenogenesis. And when we come right back, let's get into Fukushima with him on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen Quayle back with us on Coast to Coast AM. Fukushima, Stephen, I think it'll go down in history as probably one of our biggest catastrophes.
Well, absolutely. And again, it seems like the books have been rewritten on ionizing radiation, and George, the lies and the threats to people that could tell the truth. I actually have a friend, Henry Gruber, that was in Fukushima the day of the event, and the radiation and the people I talk to over there are absolutely beside themselves. And what's strange and what's tragic both is the fact that if you get scientists who are world-class saying that it's already in the jet stream, and the meaning it being radioactive particles, and yet there's seemingly no concern. I heard from Alaska fishermen last week that the Alaskan fishermen aren't even yet being concerned, while the Eskimos are very concerned because they're noticing all the changes in the sea life. Yep. And one of the prophetic important statements of the book of Revelation is that a third of the life in the sea dies. So you cannot have the starfish dying and all the sea lions and the whale behaving like they're behaving and the krill dying off. By the way, krill is the first order on the food chain. So in the ocean, when the krill go, that it's really, as somebody once said, as the ocean goes, so do we. When the ocean dies, man dies. Well, obviously, that's true of, 70% of the world's population lives in the coastal region where food, I could be off a few percent, but it's close to 70%. So the intentional hiding of that, then you get to the depth. You start talking to people behind the scenes. Look, I've said this on your program so many times. If you know the right questions to ask, you'll be surprised at the truth that the answers will provide. And the situation, real simple, is there an orchestrated effort to keep the severity, the danger, and the ultimate results of Fukushima from the American people? Absolutely. Sure. From the scientific, from the military. And now we've got the situation in New Mexico with the storage plant in Billings, Montana, which is east of me, George, by, I don't know, 130 miles. I mean, the other day they had, I think, 680 counts per minute. Well, one of my listeners and your listeners, he listens to both of us, overlaid the map of the jet stream with the radiation accounts that are being recorded across the country. And guess what? Where the jets? It was like just a mirror image. So Fukushima is the greatest natural / man-made disaster. I don't believe, by the way, it was a natural disaster, okay? I'm just saying this, is that the Illuminati, in their stated goals, and this is, look, if you quote 100 of these guys, it's not a conspiracy theory. They want to rid the planet of 5.5 billion people. If you look at what the
As long as they're not one of the 5.5 billion,
we'll make it easy. Everybody dies but them, you know?
That's right. So the point is
that Fukushima and now the situation with the nuclear storage facility down in New Mexico, and I mean, I think it's, can I say something? I think it's accessory to murder to keep that kind of truth from people, especially when, you know, they've got children. The children, the birth defects on the West Coast are already showing up. The bottom line is the kids should be taking their thyroid-blocking potassium iodate or iodide, or, you know, there's natural, when I say this, there's actually proven things. And by the way, you and I talked about the gentleman that developed photo deactivation for radiation. No one ever brought that up because he was murdered by the people that basically didn't want the knowledge known. If you look up photo deactivation, you'll find out that the leading scientists who basically had a system using lasers to knock the energetic particles out of their orbits and basically deactivate nuclear materials, he was murdered too in a car accident. It's amazing. My definition is they should have a new statement of cause of death, and it should be death by silencers or death by vehicular silencing.
Yeah. Are we still getting reports of dead biologists, Steve?
Yes, we are, and I try and keep up with it. By the way, people have suggested I put up a dead bankers list on my site, which I should do, and I'm working on that right now. But also, I think we updated with the latest one. But here's the thing. It's not only the dead biologists now. If you look at the themes, it's interesting. If you remember in Britain about 20 years ago, that's when all of the Star Wars scientists were being, anybody who worked in the high frontier, General Daniel Graham under Ronald Reagan's program, any of those guys. I mean, it was dozens and dozens dying. When you and I took on the bioweapons program and the whole situation supposedly for the Iraqi war, weapons of mass destruction, again, Dr. David Kelly was silenced because he knew the truth. Well, now we've got the bankers. So it's pretty easy to follow that the clusters of deaths within a specific group of individuals targeted is relating to the ongoing next thing that's going to happen.
And they know about it, and they needed to be silenced.
Absolutely. And we didn't deal with the astronomers either. All the astronomers that were murdered, especially when at the time of Planet X, Nibiru, Gabriel's Fist, all the different names, the 10th planet, the point being is if you look into that, the deaths of really prominent astronomers all centered around, statements they made concerning incoming orbital bodies. So the point is that this is the cluster now. So according to V said, according to his Wall Street sources, there are 43 people on that hit list.
And 43. Do you think they know that they're on the list?
Yeah, I asked him that question. I think I asked him that on an interview with Doug Hagman when he and I were on with Doug. And they know. And he said that's why some of them have just flat out disappeared. And when you've got the kind of money that their position affords them, at some point, I'm sure that they know that they can be found, but they're fleeing as fast as they find out. And the ones that obviously don't get to flee are the ones that were at the wrong place at the wrong time. And it seems like, again, this is amazing, from what I can tell, because I'm following this, is that the higher-ups who would be the direct overseers, the guys murdered, they're still alive.
Stephen, we haven't talked a lot with you about GMO foods, but I want to get your take on that. And, of course, they continue to win that battle for labeling. But where are we headed there?
Well, we're headed the same thing. You know, terraforming was a word, and I put GMO foods and I put chemtrails and an atmospheric aerosolization in absolutely a full-scale genetic attack. You are what you eat, okay? And I believe that we are being modified by the foods we eat. And you and I have joked over the years, and both our favorite story on To Serve Man, the Twilight Zone episode. But, you know, it's one thing, George, when you and I go on the radio. It's another thing when I get a hand-delivered message from someone saying, you're right on. And he said, and by the way, I'm a 4-star, you know? And he gives me proof in his announcement to me of that he is. So the point is that I never ask names. Somebody said, how can you find out the stuff you know? Number one, I really don't care about their names, because if I knew their names, then that puts them in a difficult position if I don't know their names. But one of my criteria is, and sure, I get skunked sometimes, but look, I'm one guy trying to make a difference, and here's the difference I'm trying to make. If people can see it happening before their very eyes and apply the ramifications as to the outcome, they can do something about it. Let's just take the Russian-U.S. war talk, okay? World War III. Did not the President of the United States last week say that he's worried about nuclear on a nuclear attack?
In New York.
No president has ever said it that definitively. Now, what I am saying is this. How can we supposedly be escalating the tension with NATO, and yet Robert Jones is a guy who used to do a radio program, and he's a guy that literally had the letter from our government requesting the placement in the United States. This was 4 or 5 years ago, whenever, basically Russian special forces in the United States to help with civilian subjugation and gun confiscation. His brother was married to a very high-ranking Russian lady. The brother, who was in the former military, was literally invited to the Kremlin and showed the letter. And the question given to the brother who saw the letter is, what type of resistance will we encounter when we go to take away the guns? So here's the point, George. Does not something seem amiss? We've got reports, I mean, they're open source reports, you can Google it, of Russian soldiers training, of Russian high command being shown, if you will, the trade secrets, the military secrets, locations and installations, and yet we're supposedly gearing up for war against them. But at the same time, the Pentagon is slashing defense spending, and also, by the way, we're seeing now the billions of rounds of ammunition being bought for the Department of Homeland Security. That's real. Those allocations are real. 12,000 MRAP vehicles, you know, the armored personnel carriers.
That's real.
That's real. The pre-positioning and staging of tanks in the United States. It's fascinating because, again, Dr. Greg Evenson has basically highly decorated law enforcement, highly decorated military guy, been told by all his sources in both the military and police departments across the country that heavy war material is being staged strategically across the country to make war on the American people. And it seems like every day somebody new who's just a normal American citizen just trying to live their life is being added to the hit list. And that's Connecticut will be the shot fired around the world heard, you know, if they go after the guns. And they're talking about going house to house. And we're supposedly under a constitutional guarantee, and the Constitution does not exist in these guys' minds. Don't get me wrong. It's still a foundational document of our country, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. But remember, I think it was Jeff Foxworthy who made the statement, America was founded by geniuses and destroyed by morons. And those are his words. And again, that's exactly where I see we're headed. It's almost as if there is an external force using the internal placed, and I'll call them what they are, mercenary forces to subjugate the American people, and then, if you will, to the victors go the spoil. Now, that's something that's no longer conspiracy theory. The point is that if people will not wake up, if they choose to not hear this stuff, to put their fingers in their ears and just hum, you know, whatever their favorite rock and roll tune is of the day, the point is that there's nothing you and I can do if they don't take their fingers out of their ears. But for those who are listening with honest hearts and who are looking, they've got to prepare. The food situation in this country, I think ground round now are hamburgers close to $4 a pound nationally.
Yeah, that's crazy. And
look at what's happening in California. The whole federal government cutting off the water, the drought in the San Joaquin Valley. All these things are building, and it used to be one volcano a year maybe going off in some obscure part of the planet. I was over Mount Rainier, and this is important for people to understand. I went to the top of Mount Rainier in a helicopter, and I took pictures, and I could not shake the feeling that if you look up Mount Rainier on Wikipedia, you'll find out it's the most dangerous, considered the most dangerous volcano in America. And then last week, we started seeing multiple small tremors in Mount Hood. Well, the Cascadia region, if we're talking about prophecy now, I'm going to tie this in. The Cascadia region, many of the visionaries and Henry Gruver and others who have seen the war coming against the United States see the Russians and Chinese stopped by the whole Cascadia region going off. Whether you want to believe that or not, it's interesting. Now it's all coming active. And the point is that most people will not accept that this stuff is happening until it's too late for them to do anything about it.
Stephen, let's talk about the possibility of a third world war. Imminent? Possible?
Well, I think it's possible. Is it imminent? I don't think it's imminent yet. I think the bottom line is the goal is to get the last dollar of the American consumer. I think, though, the thing I don't know are the wild cards. Who plays the wild cards? For instance, if a person wants to look at the tension building between China and Japan, that even supersedes Korea and North and South Korea firing their artillery at each other on the islands. The point is that there are hot spots and there are flashpoints. Poland, what's happened in Crimea, let's go there. The whole Eastern Bloc breakaway countries now are fearing for their lives, their words, not mine, and they're asking NATO, I think Poland asked NATO today for 10,000 troops. All it takes is somebody to fire the wrong shot or the right shot if you want to start this. And you know, the point being is that we're at that critical juncture where everybody's got their Hammers cocked and back. Everybody's got their fingers on the button. And who blinks first? Well, I think it's obvious that we are not going to do anything in the Ukraine, meaning the United States. What will NATO do? Nothing. Russia holds all the cards. They can cut Europe off of natural gas. And obviously, the first thing they did was raise the discount rate, take the discount off that they were selling gas to the Ukraine. So when you control the resources, George, you control life. And that's what China and Russia are both doing. And the Americans, which is a consumer-oriented society now and a service-oriented society, does not produce what we used to produce in the years we were the greatest manufacturing and technological giant on the planet. It's been given away under NAFTA. It's been given away or sold under treason and espionage. And now all of our blessings are turning to curses on us.
As you look at all the things that are going on right now worldwide, Stephen, is for you, which is the one point that you see as the trouble spot?
I believe that the most troubling thing right now is Fukushima. And one of the things I'm concerned about is the release of bioagents and the mandatory vaccinations. I'm not a fan of vaccinations. The point that is troubling to me, George, is that Ebola has never been thought prior to just recently to be transmissible in the air, okay? If someone has aerosolized that and combined it, you and I did this show on when they were digging up the Spanish flu victims. I mean, this is 10 years ago. And remember I said they're going to combine it, and sure enough, you know, they wanted to come up with a super plague. Let me explain something about the Illuminati. They're serious. Whether you even believe they exist, they are serious. The globalists want a global pandemic. In their mind, it's better. Now, what are we hearing? That the bubonic plague, from some of the cadavers in London that have been, the remains that have been exhumed and teeth may have actual bubonic, and now the scientists are saying, hey, it wasn't transmitted by rats, it was aerosolized. Well, can you imagine if there's a variant strain of the bubonic plague that they've never cultured before, and now all these crazy, insane bioweaponeers are taking that into? So my two concerns right now, above all things, are the Fukushima radiation, because radiation destroys tissue. And the idea that we're being lied to about that, then the mutagenic, here's the third thing, the mutagenic character, in other words, the ability to produce mutations with the chemtrail sprays and the electromagnetic attenuation of those chemicals, okay? In other words, it's kind of like having a normal car and then you put a supercharger on it. It's one thing, these diseases are bad enough, yet when you supercharge them and you define them and literally you can design them to be race specific or any gene characteristic you want, I mean, you've got the ultimate killing machine, and guess what? It can all be blamed on a pandemic and the nebulous. We don't know where it started.
Well, very well. Stephen, get your website out, if you would, and how do we get your book, Xenogenesis?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you. My website's Steve Quayle, StevQuayle.com, and Xenogenesis is only available either on my website. You can go to my book section and order it. Actually, it's right on the front page, lower right-hand corner. And, tomorrow you can call. My phone number during 9 to 5 is 406-586-4842. And all these phone numbers are on the website up in the left-hand corner. And again, George, the Xenogenesis, the most important thing I've ever written.
All right, Stephen, we're going to come back and take phone calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM.